is time for us to welcome in our next guest. She is the director of the Center for Financial Self-Sufficiency at Community Teamwork Incorporated, CTI as we call it. Chris Santos Gordon is joining us in studios. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. You're one of the lucky few who isn't stuck in that traffic because you have to go to work today, right?
That's the truth. That is the truth. I'm happy to go to work today, actually.
Well, that's a good thing. I always tell people, no matter what the money is, if you're going to work and you're dreading it every single day, I don't care how much you're getting paid. I guess it helps more when you're getting paid a lot more than less. But if you're miserable going to work, it's not the right job.
That's the truth.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying yours. How long have you been with CTI?
Just about 11 years now.
11 years.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
What did you do before? Because I know the Center for Financial Self-Sufficiency is something new. What did you do with them before?
So, My job really has evolved over the 11 years. I came in as somebody that was running family support programs, family support workshops, child development, enrichment for families. And in 2007, CTI was awarded a grant, an individual development account grant, which provides financial education and support for families that want to purchase a home, go back to school, or start a small business. And that's really when my job evolved into what it is now, which is the director of the center. And it really started as baby steps back in 2007 with this birth of the IDA program and a funding source requirement to provide financial education to families. So we started that program and turned our financial education program into what it is today, which is provides a financial literacy academy 3 times a year. And that is run six nights. Each session is 6 nights long for 2 hours. We provide dinner and childcare, and we teach personal financial education to people. And then those that are interested in going into the IDA program, they have to qualify for that program, but they save $2,000, and CTI matches that 3-to-1, and they end up with $8,000 to put down on a home, start a small business, or return to college. So really, that sort of kick-started our financial education programs at CTI. We weren't a center at that point. We were just beginning this offer. And it really turned into something big. We learned that people weren't coming to our financial education program just because they wanted to buy a house. They were coming because they were thirsty for an understanding of how to manage their finances. So whether you have $1 or you have $10,000 or $1 million, you know, somebody has to, sometimes people just need help managing that.
And that's part of the problems of what I like to call, you know, the cycle of poverty. First of all, attaining wealth, making money, and what is difficult enough. But then for a lot of folks, what we're finding, sadly, and I hear it from a lot of college professors as well, is folks don't know some of the basics that you and I may have grown up. How do you balance a checkbook?
Right.
How much should you save each week? How much of your paycheck should you put away versus how much you use to spend your bills? You know, what do you need to cut back on in your bills to make sure you're meeting goals? A lot of folks don't even have a basic understanding of those concepts.
Absolutely. I think one of the first things we teach people, or we talk with people about, are values. And really what you value and what you care about in your life is going to show in how you spend your money. So if we can help people to think about what they value and connect them to how they're spending their money, they're starting the right path to managing finances. The other thing that we talk a lot about is when you understand truly what you need versus what you want, it's like a light bulb goes off. Like, you know, I don't need to stop at the best coffee shop on the way to work and spend $2-3 on a cup of coffee every day. That's $15 at the end of the week times 52. It's like over $600, or I'm doing the math real quick in my head, a year. That if you just made the coffee at your house and put it in a little fancy mug and you would save that. So we do a lot of that in our initial conversations with people to sort of help them start thinking about those choices. And again, it's like I said, whether you have $5 or you have $10,000, it doesn't matter. You know, we live paycheck to paycheck, some people say, or but you know what? If you understand what you need versus what you want and you follow what it is you truly value, you value food, you value a roof over your head, you value a job and how to get there.
That's a tough educational battle you're fighting, though, because I always tell the story about how I was 19 years old in 1985 before we ever got our first color TV in our home, and I'm still complaining about it today, you know, 32 years later. But, you know, and it's an easy lesson to say, well, listen, this if you can't afford it, don't get it, you know. Don't go to the Dunkin' Donuts. Don't go to the Starbucks. You know, make your coffee at home before you leave. And then, but you're dealing with an entire culture. Your TVs, your radios, your newspapers, your social medias are bombarding you with messages. You have to have this. This is trendy. Everybody has it. Everybody wants it. You need to get it. You go to work. You go to school, and you're looking around you, and others have it. Others are dressed in it. Others are eating it, drinking it. It really takes a lot of discipline to know what you really can and can't afford, as you're saying.
That is the truth. So then it goes back to what you value. And that's what we say to people all the time. Well, which thing do you value? Do you value the fact that you can live within your means, or do you value the fact that you want your kid to have the best pair of sneakers, the iPhone, everything, and whether or not you can afford that? So, you know, it always brings, the conversation always comes back to what it is you truly value.
What you value. It's 8:26 here on 980 WCAP, chatting with Chris Santos-Gordon. She is the director of the Center for Financial Self-Sufficiencies with Community Teamwork Incorporated. What are the ages that you're targeting here? Obviously adults, but are you doing some things to get them young at the early ages and kind of build those good habits before they become an adult, I should say?
Yes. So that's tricky. And I know that it would be ideal for children as young as maybe even fourth and fifth grade to start those skills in school. And I think our state is sort of evolving and starting to embed a little bit of that into the curriculum. We run a program in the summer called Money Talks for Youth. And each year we have around maybe 60 to 80 teenagers that come to that program. It's 3 half days. The first 2 days are really sort of classroom learning, where we talk about what is a budget and why is a budget important. We talk again about needs and wants and values. We talk about the importance of banking, investing over time, investing in yourself, your education. We do that for those 2 days. And then on the third day, that's our reality fair, and we have volunteers that come in and offer to sit at a booth where they are a landlord. We have car salesmen. We have folks that volunteer to run cell phone companies, and then the students are given a portfolio. With inside the portfolio is, this is what your annual income is, this is your family size, this is, you know, you went to college, you have student loans, and they have to walk around and hit every single booth. They have to ensure that they've got transportation, housing, food, clothing, furniture, a cell phone plan or a landline, cable, their utilities. And once they get through all of those booths, they go to our volunteer financial counselors, and they sit down and they have to look and see if they've balanced their budget, whether they made enough money to support. And if they didn't, they have to go back and make a change. And so we've had kids go back and decide they'll take public transportation for a while, they won't have a car. We've had students go back and really just change their cell phone plan. And that's a really, we hear lots of qualitative conversation with the students, where some of them, you know, one student, I'll never forget him, he came up to me, he said, "I'm going home to thank my mom. I can't believe how expensive life is." And I just was like, wow, this is exactly what we want them to get out of this reality fair. Is that life is expensive and you have to plan accordingly.
It certainly is. You actually have an event coming up March 11th at the Stoklosa School geared towards youngsters, correct?
So our Financially Hers is for N is for any age, actually. The Money Talks Youth Conference is in the summer, and then every March, in conjunction with Lowell Women's Week, we do a full-day seminar, and it's geared towards women, but anybody can come. And this year, we're doing something a little bit different. We're doing a workshop called Me and My Tween, a hands-on approach to helping your child understand household finances. And so this is the first time we're going to be having youth come in with their parents, and we're going to do some fun stuff and teach them sort of about a little bit about the game of life or payday or whatever board game you have in your house. That and we're going to spend an hour and a half with them.
Doing it through games
and through fun activities, because we don't, you know, finances aren't fun, and we, you know, we want to draw the people in, and we want youth to start thinking about that. And so that's for 12 and up. So our information will be ready for that soon. People can call CTI 978-459-0551 if they want to learn anything else about the Financially Heroes or any of our other programs in the center.
And you're going to be joining us in a couple more weeks, right?
Somebody at my agency will be joining in a couple of weeks, I think, to talk about fuel assistance. And it's that time of year. It's very cold today. Tomorrow, not so much. But, you know, it's winter, so... Yeah.
And you also have income tax assistance programs for people. I know that. But what I wanted to talk about in the couple of minutes we have remaining, fascinated by your individual development account program, where you basically got 48 people, low-income folks, that set up, tell me first what an individual development account is, and tell our audience what they did with those accounts.
I would love to. So I'm so proud of this program, and I'm really proud of the people that have come into it. And again, these are people that have to qualify for this program, and if you call us, we can let you know how you do that. They come into our program, and many of them...
If I could just stop you for a second, what's the number that qualifies you? Because, you know, a lot of people throw an arbitrary figure at low income. You know, with $50,000 a year, which sounds like a lot, if you've got kids, rent, mortgage, or whatever, you're poor. I don't care what the cutoff line tells you. To me, that's poverty. How do you establish that number?
So our funding source, which is we get this grant from the federal government, and it's they're the ones that tell us this is the amount of money people have to make, and it's a sliding scale fee. So it's based on your family size and your annual income, and it's 200% of federal poverty, which really, to the average somebody that doesn't work at Community Teamwork, has no idea what that means. And so, just as an example, a family of three earning around $32,000 a year.
They're broke. They're not poor.
Yes. But what I'm going to tell you about the IDA program, which is fascinating, is 48 people that fall within 200% of federal poverty guideline. And again, you know, family size of six, maybe making around $60,000 a year. It really is, I don't know it off the top of my head. So 48 of those people have changed their life by purchasing an asset. And through the IDA program, they go through financial education. We help them get a better job. We help them increase their income over time. They save $2,000. We give them $6,000, and that's part of that's federal money. Most of that is raised by CTI through private foundations. And so we have had, 48 low-income people purchase an asset. 14 people used that money, that $8,000, to return to college.
An investment.
Huge. Nobody can ever take your college education away from you. You have it forever. 29 people purchased a home. So 29 people purchased a home.
Out of the 48.
And out of that 29, probably two-thirds of them were living in subsidized housing. So two-thirds of that moved out of subsidized housing and into their own housing. Two people started a small business. Small business is a little bit trickier. You know, I mean, $8,000.
That brings on a whole new set of training
and
challenges, right?
You know, we do connect them to the Small Business Assistance Center with CTI.
But it shows the spirit, though. Now I have a little bit of an understanding how to handle money. I get a little bit of assistance. I'm going to try to make more of it now and create something even bigger.
Absolutely. These are people that understand what they value, and they totally get their needs versus their wants, and they are selected. So it isn't just any low-income person that comes through the door is going to get into the IDA program. They have to be ready to change their lives.
So those numbers sound and look fantastic, and they are fantastic. You still have, what, another 24 in the pipeline that are, who knows what they're going to end
up
doing.
Many of them have already saved their $2,000. I'll tell you, most of them are in the program for home ownership, and the housing market is tough for that population because so many people fall into that same pot of that amount of money they can afford for a mortgage, therefore making it harder to find the house. But we're confident that they're going to do it.
So whether it is financial education, that individual development account program we just talked about, financial coaching, tax assistance programs, SNAP enrollment, secure jobs program, Community Teamwork Incorporated provides it all through the Center for Financial Self-Sufficiency. Chris Santos-Gordon is the director. How do folks find out? How do they get involved?
If anybody is interested in learning about our program or wanting to volunteer for our program or help us in any way or need help from us, they can come into our main open door, which is the Resource Center, 17 Kirk Street in Lowell, or they can call our office, which is 978-459-0551.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for joining us in studio this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure's ours.